Now the car show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
And a good Saturday morning to you one and all. This is your Saturday morning car show with me, Lisa Christensen, here on Montreal's News Talk leader, CJAD 800 AM. I'm a licensed automotive technician, master certified ASC, fixing up your car like we do every week here on the CJAD car show. So get in line at 514-790-0800. I see Jimmy has just flicked the switch and the lines are now open if you'd like to get in and talk about your vehicle. Maybe everybody's hiding at home today because of all the road closures. Oy, oy, oy. I have to admit, because if you listen to the show, you know I live way out in the east end of Montreal. I live in Rivière-des-Prairies. And I have to take usually the 25 to get off of the Souligny, number 4 exit. And then I get to Dixon. And then I take Notre Dame all the way and cruise on in. And since the tunnel has been closed, it's been interesting. So I usually leave a lot earlier than normally. So I can be sure, because I wouldn't want to leave Ken Connor sitting there twiddling his thumbs waiting for Lisa to get in because she's got stuck in traffic, like a lot of you people out there possibly are stuck in traffic with the Ville-Marie being closed in both directions this weekend. It could get a little bit hairy. So if you have to get out and do things today, you know, carpool, car share, if you can take public transportation. I mean, for us out in RDP, it's horrible, so forget about that. But the more people that do take the public transportation when they can means the people that don't have good public transportation will have an easier time getting to and from where they go. So that's the way I kind of look at the car situation. I need my car to get from where A to B. A lot of people don't. So I rely on them to go ahead and take public transportation or send me a Metro. I would take that too. But one of the things I do notice at certain times of the years, cars behave differently depending on temperature, road conditions, things like that. Well, one of the more popular problems that we kind of get at certain times of the year are what we call jerking. Yeah. So your car actually can jerk. Well, it could be on an acceleration. You get that, you know, not a sputter. Just like that uncomfortable feeling. Or when you're slowing down, you get that feeling of the car is like sort of like sticking and going, sticking and going, sticking and going. So I thought I'd maybe mention some of those possible things that could happen when people talk about a feel of like a jerking sensation when braking. So some of the most common are warped rotors, brake disc rotors, where the brakes grab the round thing. That's called a brake disc rotor. And, you know, with time, your vehicle brake rotors, they get distorted. Could be, you know, due to overheating. Maybe you ride the brakes or you live in a part of town where there's a stop sign every corner. Excessive wear. When you're getting close to the end of the brake life and things get hotter. Or even the opposite, where rapid cooling. You know, if you do cooking, you get something really hot and you cool it down really quick, you know that there is a difference in temperature and it causes a frying pan to warp. Same thing with your brake disc rotors. And you can feel it because you get this thumping feeling on your brake pedal when you're slowing down. If you have a car that has ABS, anti-lock braking system, you know, the little yellow light on the dash? You can have the jerking sensation, which is considered normal because maybe you're new on driving this car this summer or someone else is new with that vehicle. And you press hard on the brake, panic stop, we call it. And all of a sudden, the brake pedal goes thumping back at you really, really fast. Well, this could be that your ABS is doing its job, keeping your car stopping, braking in a nice, straight, even line. Bad weather conditions, rain, a little bit slick, and you hit that brake pedal, the ABS will sense the speed of the wheels and will apply the brakes so rapidly that it would slow the car down, because it's going to pulse that brake pedal so fast that it's going to slow down nice and straight. Don't be alarmed. It's normal. And if you've never had that happen to you, because you drive very little or you're very easy on the go or that, you might want to test your ABS, see how it works. Give it a thump when there's nobody around. Hit the brake hard when you're doing about 30, just to see how does that feel if you're the new driver on the car. However, though, if the ABS brake system starts activating randomly as you're slowing down normally, then it's very possible that there is an issue with your ABS system and it should be checked. If the ABS light is on, that means the ABS is not functional. And if it could have helped you stop brake evenly or prevent an accident, if the light is on, it can't do those things. So that's something that should definitely be looked at. Also, as the weather warms up, we also go, you know, we've gone through the winter with all the calcium and on the roads and that. We can get severely seized brake calipers. That can also cause your vehicle to jerk when you're applying the brakes. And that's because it's binding, it's sticking. The little sleeves that hold that, that bolt that caliper onto a saddle and on brakes, and the caliper gets seized. And what happens is it squeezes and it gets tight because it can't, it's not a fluid open, close, it jerks because it's seized. Kind of like a seizing effect of a door hinge. You know how it creaks or the door gets tight and jerks? It's the same idea with your brake caliper. And a lot of times you're going to get like a chattering sound if there's an issue with your calipers as well. But it could also be something in the suspension, because in the steering and suspension system with bushings, you know, things like control arms, shock absorbers, steering racks, we use bushings to dampen, soften vibration in the vehicle's front ends. But they can wear out with time. And you can have like a very noticeable increase in vibration. And usually, as you brake, see, everything sort of leans forward. And that's when you can get those feelings, because you're jerking the suspension at the same time. So that is also something that could be a possible cause of a vehicle jerking. A car can have a jerking condition and not even have anything to do with the brakes or the suspension. And it could be a transmission issue. And it could be, you know, related to a transmission controller or bad valve body. But what I'm trying to bring to the table with this is that you can have a small jerking situation with a car, and by not having it checked out, it could actually cost you a lot more money in the future. A lot of times, if a brake caliper is sticking, you can, if you catch it in time, you could probably save the brake disc rotor from becoming blue or distorted, because you take care of the caliper issue right away and possibly save the brake pads at the same time. Just as a small example. Lots more to talk about this morning here on the CJD Car Show. So get in line at 514-790-0800. The lines are open. I see they're starting to fill up. Jimmy G's getting busy. So get in now before the second half and it gets a little bit more tight and technical for then.
This is the Car Show on CJAD 800.
1021 CJAD time. Let's go to the phone lines and talk to you about your car at 514-790-0800, 514-790-0800. But first, we're going to turn on to the text line. It's Vito from RDP, not my Vito, of course, P0456, part of the EVAP system on a 2009 Nissan Versa. Can't seem to find a leak, but the car runs fine. Should I leave it, or maybe some ideas what to look for? I've checked the gas cap. Have a nice day. Well, Vito, did respond on the text line, but for people listening at home, this is a real popular problem. EVAP codes related to the evaporative emission system could be gas cap. Think about gas cap all the way around the engine compartment. Anything that would be associated to the evaporative emissions, small pipes, rubber hoses, charcoal canisters, solenoids, gas tank itself, anywhere there could be a potential leak in the system. And we're talking minor leak. We're talking inches of water is a unit of measurement that we would check. So as an example, your gas cap. if you're not putting it on tight enough or doesn't click, you could have a check engine light come on and have an evaporative emissions code, possibly for gas cap. And a lot of car companies now also have gas cap lights. So, and it could simply be that you haven't tightened it enough. But what else can happen? Well, in our case of the 456, you know, I've always recommended using a smoke test machine. Smoke machines, an inert smoke is generated from a liquid we put into it. And we pressurize the evap system with smoke, right? Basically onto the gas tank itself. We'll check the gas cap, first of all, for the valves, because, yeah, you have valves on your gas cap. And then we'll check the pressurizer system. And then with a scan tool, we can also do certain OEM tests on it. Activate a solenoid, see if it goes, the smoke now travels to the next destination where it's supposed to. So there are a lot of hidden components. That's why smoke really is a great way to go with a smoke machine, so that you can lightly pressurize the system with the product and you can see where smoke is starting to accumulate and come out. Now you've zeroed in on an area of the car and the possible components that are at fault. So hopefully that helps you out, Vito. Thank you. Let's go back to the phone lines here at 514-790-0800. And talk with Glenn, who has a 2008 Toyota Yaris. Hi, Glenn.
Hi, good morning. My question is kind of similar, because I recently had my gas filled up and the attendant didn't close the cap properly. And when I the next day I was driving and I saw the light came on, the first thing I checked was my gas cap, and it wasn't closed properly.
Okay.
So if I close it properly, should the light go off?
Yes, it should go off. And it could possibly go off after a certain amount of drive. And do you still have your owner's manual?
Yes.
I bet you'll find the procedure inside that owner's manual, because the gas cap, it's becoming so much more popular than it was 10 years ago, that a lot of people have the light that you're speaking about. And it could take one or two key cycles that you drive, you know, 2 minutes, turn the car off, drive 2 minutes, turn the car off. And it's enough for everybody to check itself and determine that there's no longer an issue with the gas cap. Have you taken the gas cap off yourself and just looked at it?
I unscrewed it and screwed it back in, but okay. I didn't look at it.
Yeah, it should be. Normally, it's an older car. I mean, it's 2008, so it could be starting to get squashed, the gasket. But look, you're going to tighten the cap up. You're going to go for a drive, and you're going to see if the light will reset. You can bring your owner's manual in and have a look at that section of the owner's manual, and it will give you an explanation for the light and tell you to check, and if the light would go out. So there's a nice little passage, maybe a full page, on the explanation that I think you'll find very useful.
Oh, great.
Good
thank
luck, Glenn.
Thank you very much.
And thank you very much for the call.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye. Bye. 514-790-0800. 514-790-0800. Let's go to our next caller and speak to Robbie about a 2007 Honda Fit.
Yeah, hello.
Hello, sir. Go ahead, please.
I'm just wondering, what's your ideas with the way the cars are built today? You know, if you just bump into another car at a very low speed, the bumpers pop out from the side of the quarter panel.
Yes, sir.
And the front fenders.
Yes, sir.
And if you're lucky, you can snap them back in.
Yeah.
But if it happens more than once or twice, those rubber pieces wear out and they don't.
Yeah, you have to change the clips.
They don't snap in anymore.
That's right. You got to change the clips.
No, the clip is part of the bumper.
You can
mold it.
A lot of times you can have those clips replaced.
Okay, well, on the Fit, the rubber. Oh, you mean the whole track of clips?
Well, there's usually it's usually like a whitish colored clip.
Yeah, no, it doesn't have that. Not on the 2007 Honda.
Okay,
Fit.
So you have the knob that you have to like sort of hook over the round knob and push it down.
Yeah, it's more a horizontal tab that fits into a hole.
Right. So what do you want to do about it?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. What do you do about it once those are worn out? You don't want to replace the whole bumper.
Have you had a body man look at the car?
No, what I did was I put some black, car's black, so I used some black silicone and I filled in the gaps and I put it on, I put a clamp on it, and it's been good for 2 years.
Oh, okay. Well, next time, you could always have a body man look at it and see what, I mean, if it's 2007, I mean, how much do you want to invest?
Hey, that's my point.
Yeah.
The thing is, it has 300,000 kilometers on it.
Again, how much do you want to invest, right?
Well, it runs pretty good.
Yeah. So I guess we're not going to do anything about it. But they make the cars what I call clip together. I mean, when they brought the new Beetle out, it was unbelievable how we could disassemble the entire body panels on that car in minutes because everything was just screwed right on.
Yeah.
There's not much you can do. You've done what you can done other than go to a body shop and actually have a body man invest time and money into that.
Okay. One last quick thing there about your anti-brake locks. I had a Mercedes-Benz back in the late 80s, early 90s, a 500 SL. And going into the underground parking was a very steep grade. And the anti-lock braking would come in. You know, the pedal would start bouncing.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back to the dealer and they looked at it. And they go, oh, yeah, this is wrong. That's wrong. And $6,000 later, it still did the same thing.
It's doing its job.
So we went back and they kept the car and they gave me a loaner, a brand new loaner. And I went into the same parking garage and it did the same thing.
Yeah, like I said, it's doing its job. So I wouldn't worry about the ABS brakes because going downhill, for sure, if it's got any kind of slip that's noticeable because of the grade, for sure it's going to come on. So I'm sorry about that. And hopefully they reimbursed you the $6,000. Good luck. Thank you very much for the call this morning about your vehicle. 514-790-0800. 514-790-0800 puts you in the driver's seat this morning here on the CJAD Car Show. I don't really have enough time to take that next caller there, so I don't want to cut anybody off. So I wanted to mention another thing that can cause a car to jerk and not flow smoothly, and that is the air induction system. Something as simple as a partially blocked air filter. that will inhibit the flow past a mass airflow sensor can change your fuel trims of your car. An air filter or a throttle plate that is dirty cannot have the correct position and not see the right amount of airflow, and that can obstruct your car's ability to understand what's happening and give you the correct air-fuel mixture, just simply from a dirty air filter. Think about that next time you do a checkup and decide not to change it. It's 10:30 CJAD time. It's time to head over for a CTV news update with Don Kagan Fleming.
This is the Car Show on CJAD 800.
10:37 CJD time, and welcome to the second half of your Saturday morning car show with me, Lisa Christensen, here on Montreal's News Talk leader, CJD 800 AM. I'm a licensed automotive technician, master certified ASC, fixing up your car like we do every week here on the CJD Car Show. Let's go back to the phone lines because I see they're filling up quick. If you're interested in getting in the driver's seat, give me a call at 514-790-0800. No keyboard warriors, please. Let's talk to some real people about real car problems. Sophia.
Yes. Hi, Lisa.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. You have a BMW 2014 XI. Do you know if you have a 2-liter engine?
Oh, I should know that. It's embarrassing. I don't think I do.
Well, it's because you're asking about a timing belt. So I'm just making sure we're dealing with a timing belt car and not a timing chain car.
It's a timing chain. Exactly.
Oh, my goodness. Is that going to be expensive?
Yes. Well, that's why I'm calling you. It's not broken, but they're telling me it's loose and it's known to break on this type of a car.
Yes, ma'am.
And they're quoting me $2,600.
It's a bargain.
So it's they're right. It's not a story, and you think it's a fair comment.
I'm telling you that my father had a BMW,
right?
And he had to have the timing sprockets changed because everything got loose, and he had to replace the sprockets. And whoo, was it expensive? I wanted to see the sprockets because on your timing chain system you have there, you have a different type of engine. So if you don't do this, you could have major engine failures. It's expensive, I know. What's your goal with this car? Do you love your car?
Well, this is the perfect question. So it is a 2014, but as you can imagine, I've only got about 62,000 kilometers.
Right. Do you change the oil? Do you put the right oil and you change it all the time?
Yep.
Okay, that's very important. Yes.
Yeah, it always goes to a BMW dealer.
Okay.
And I don't do a lot of kilometers. I don't really work that far. And more importantly, it stays literally from garage to garage. So I would love to keep it because it's in phenomenal shape. It mm-hmm. actually looks brand new.
Yeah.
But I'm at a point where, like, if every visit's going to cost me, you know, a couple of grand, you know, do I need to maybe change it?
It's interesting that they're saying that it's got some loose in it. That's what's bothering me about the whole thing.
They sent me a video as well to say it's looking loose.
They're
now,
telling
I'm
you
no
that
expert.
The yeah. Well, you know what? In your case, because you have such low mileage,
right?
I would probably have a second opinion done. You have the video, right?
I do. Yeah.
Okay. So it would be interesting if you gave someone else the video and came up with a different opinion, because obviously it's mm-hmm. radio. You know, I can't see. But
yeah.
at the same time, you have something called a deflection, and it may be that the deflection of that chain is right in its spec. It may look loose, but in theory, it's not. I mean, I've had cars where I've made yeah. a diagnosis and then found out that my diagnosis was wrong because the manufacturer was off as far as our information was.
Right.
You know, it's supposed to be zero tolerance, and sometimes the tolerance we're given is not the same.
Right.
So,
right.
you know what? I've learned over the years that when I come up with something that's really expensive, I'm going to take 5 more minutes and maybe do a second verification from another person that I know or something like that, because you want to be sure. And not always the information in the aftermarket is always accurate. We get a lot of times updates, manual error. One digit could make the
right.
whole difference. So in your
right.
case, we're talking about a major repair. I would suggest you give someone else a call and discuss with them. Listen, I've got an estimate. I got very low mileage. And it's only going to the BMW dealership. I'd like to keep the car for a couple more years, maybe put some more mileage on it before I got into that heavy repair.
And that was going to be my second question. Do you have a recommendation of a certified, quote unquote, luxury car dealer? You know, those that have all the equipment and understand how.
Well, I would send you to the same guy who did my dad's car, because I just couldn't do it. My dad lives in the West Island, and there's no way I have time to rip his engine apart. It was just not happening. So I sent him to Caesar, Centre de Mécanique Auto Fix. And he's on St. John's. He's in the West Island. Whereabouts are you?
I'm on the South Shore.
Oh, so
it's not a big deal at the end of the world.
Well, yeah,
unless my timing chain breaks.
Why don't you give him a call at 305-0559? Get him to call you back and explain to him that you have a video that we spoke on the radio and that you'd like him to have to give a second opinion because you're on the South Shore,
mm-hmm.
that you would like to possibly come to him.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you want to, you know, you give them all the same details you did, and Caesar will talk to you on the phone.
305-0559. Right?
That's right. It's Centre de Mécanique Auto Fix, but ask to speak with Caesar and tell him who spoke.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for your help. I appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you. Very interesting, Sophie. I wish I had a half an hour to talk more about you, because I know it's radio, but it's a very interesting case, and I would love to have seen the video. Take care now.
I'm glad I called. Have
Bye-bye.
A great day. Bye.
Let's go now and take another caller here. We can go ahead and speak to our Robert here. Good morning, Robert.
Yes, hello, Lisa.
Hi, go ahead, sir.
Yes, I have a Mazda 3 2010. I think my master brake cylinder is busted.
Why do you think that?
When I came home last night, my pedal was like spongy.
Yeah.
And I found the oil on the floor.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where did you find the oil?
On the floor.
Oh, like around the driver's side, on the passenger side?
I see, like right in the middle, actually.
Oh.
So more towards the driver's side, yeah.
Okay. So.
And my handbrake light is on, if that's an indication.
Well, it not really, but what I'm looking for, it really is the location of the fluid. It could be a brake line. It doesn't necessarily mean the master cylinder is gone. That's why I'm very curious, because I haven't had many master cylinders on a Mazda that even though it's a 2010 go, I would be more inclined to think that there'd be a brake line that has rotted out for you.
Well, the reason I'm saying that is, to be honest, I did a Google search. So
yeah, but I'm telling you what I've seen. And so you Google search, you're getting a whole country of people. I'm telling you what I've seen. I would be more inclined to have someone get that car up in the air, not drive it, of course, and have them look when they put fresh fluid in where the leak is coming from. I'm going to probably say that it's more of a brake line issue, steel line issue, where it bolts to the car, then I would go for a master cylinder. But of course, I can't see it, right? If I could, I would put the fluid in and I'd pump the brake pedal and I'd be able to tell you right away where the leak is coming from. But I would not suggest you drive it. I would suggest you call your garage and I would suggest you get it up in the air and see what's happening with that brake fluid leak. Good luck and thank you very much for the call this morning here on the CJD Car Show. It's 10:45 CJD time.
You're listening to The Car Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
10:51 CJAD time. Back to the phone lines we go this morning here on the CJAD Car Show. Let's go speak to Patrick. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, how's it going?
Very good, sir. So you, what kind of vehicle do you have?
So I've got a 2019 Sierra Elevation. It's a 5.3 8-speed.
Did you say Sierra or Sienna?
Sierra.
Oh, okay.
I've never driven, like I've never owned a truck before.
Okay.
So my question is, it's a used car. It's got 100,000 kilometers on it. Under acceleration, easy acceleration, hard acceleration, as it shifts gears, there's like a shake, but it's like a vibration coming through engine, like from the engine, from the transmission, from the differential, from something, whether I'm in four-wheel drive, whether traction control, ESC, activated, disactivated, it's still there. Okay. Is this a big truck, like heavy-duty kind of a thing, or is this a potential issue?
Well, I think the first order of business would be to scan the engine and not necessarily looking for codes, but to see what are the fuel trims on the car. Is the car recognizing the problem that you're having and trying to correct? What I mean by that is we'll see fuel trims move, go positive or negative, more fuel, less fuel, based on engine condition and engine load. So if it's detecting a misfire or if it's detecting a transmission issue and it's causing a bump somewhere, it may move things around. And also, we always have to start with the engine control system on a car. Any car, for people listening at home, when we start a diagnosis, we have to start on the engine performance side because that can affect how exactly your transmission can actually shift. So we need to eliminate engine performance. Throttle, your accelerator pedal, the fuel trims, basic things like that. There may be a code in memory, maybe, maybe not. So we have to go through the I was going to say diagnostic. It's not the diagnostic. Just the parameters, the startup parameters, the running parameters of the sensors that are there for controlling the fuel. Once we've done that and we've determined everything is fine, no problems whatsoever, we can then move on to transmission. And road testing with a scanner can also show us if the solenoids are shifting at the correct speed. There may be a code there. And there may be absolutely zip there. Maybe we're looking at an ignition coil issue. So a road test with a scanner will give us a lot of information. And we should never leave out the computer being updated. You know, like we always get your Windows update and you have to click on and wait 20 minutes while it does its update. Well, cars also, because of a lot of the electronics on board, they do require having an upgrade done from time to time. And they give us as a mechanic, guess what? You have upgrade number this and that. But they don't always tell us all the details. And sometimes that upgrade will actually fix other problems that may not have been reported by the consumer. Maybe you're the one consumer that has that problem and it would correct that at the same time. So by putting a scanner on, we can see what the parameters on the engine are. We can also see, should we have this, we can check the serial number and see if the car is due for an update. And in the update, it may actually give us, if your customer is complaining of this symptom and that symptom, then please refer to update this and that. So it's not just, change the spark plugs.
Okay, awesome. So it couldn't be something as easy as a misfire. It could be something like a misfire all the way to...
It's a bumper-to-bumper problem. That's why we say I like to put a scanner on a car and go for a road test. I prefer to have the customer there so that we experience the same problem at the same time. So you can clearly say, that's what I'm complaining about. That's the issue I'm here for. Because it's not always clear to a mechanic because we may have our ear tuned to different problems at the same time? Are we saying, oh, well, maybe this is what he's talking about or not what he's talking about? Because those problems don't bother you. You're there specifically for a different one. So I always suggest the customer be there for the road test so we could be on the same page. Any information you can give as well as the time of the day, the temperature outside, it was raining, it was very hot. All those details can also help us out. If a check engine light came on and went off, that can help us out. But a scan test or a road test really is the first way to start any diagnostic with engine performance on a car.
Okay, awesome.
Thank you so much and enjoy your vehicle.
You too.
Bye-bye. 514-790-0800, 514-790-0800. Al.
Yes.
Hi, go ahead, sir.
How are you?
I'm good, sir.
I have a 2018 Toyota RAV4 Hybrid, actually belongs to my daughter. It has a brake boost assembly with master cylinder. That's the only part on the car that is not user serviceable.
Oof.
That is not covered under warranty.
Oh.
And it's $3,500 for the part, and it's 19 hours of labor to change. Do you know if there's anybody else besides Toyota that can repair these things?
You're not supposed to have dead air on the radio, but I'm telling you, my brain is trying to figure out who would do that.
And the problem is that Toyota is, not only they have a problem with this part, they've had it on Priuses and other hybrids, you know, and
I can give you one resource, but you're going to have to wait 10 days before you call because the person I would send you to is out of town.
All right.
So you can call 514-272-4808. You have to wait until a week from this Monday. Don't bother calling before then because it's not going to help you out. And you're going to want to call Vito and ask him that question. He might have someone he can refer you to. But again, it's a very, very special thing. So 272-4808, Vito, a week from Monday, you give him a call and ask him about the booster assembly. Thanks very much for the call. Thank you, Jimmy G and Master Control. I see you waving me out. My name is Lisa Christensen. I will be back next week with more of your cars and all of their problems. Drive safely, Montreal.